Let's start. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, and the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is called Hiddekel. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold," and I'm going to stop right there because we're not going to get into, well, we are, we're going to get into his vision, but I wanted to cover those verses first so that you can see the setting of Daniel. One of the things that will be helpful is, do you realize twice he said he had waited 3 full weeks to get this understanding? If you look over to verse, now let me just explain. Starting in verse 5, he sees a vision. Then after he sees the vision, it puts him right to the ground where he has no strength left in him. And while he has no strength in him, it says in verse 10, it says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto him, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now, first of all, notice the words are heard. When Daniel is doing all that fasting, he's praying. And it was interesting to me. I'm thinking, where's the word pray? And the word pray is not even found in the book of Daniel. All the different things that Daniel is communicating with the Lord and receiving from the Lord, the word pray is not even found in the book. And I was surprised by that. And but we know that he's fasting, and I wanted to prove that he was praying in his fast. And it wasn't until you get to that verse, "Your words were heard." Well, this angel, whoever it might be, most think it's Gabriel, but that's not the point. The angel came. But the other reason that I read that passage is, notice it took that angel 3 full weeks to get to him. He said, "From the time that thou begin to pray." Now, the reason I said that to you, you need to know a couple things. Daniel waited 3 full weeks to get an answer to his prayer. The answer to his prayer, when we begin in verse 1 about him having understanding, is not concerning the vision he's about to see. The vision he's about to see, when he sees the vision down in verse 4, "And the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river Hiddekel, and I lifted up my eyes," and then he's going to see the vision. Then he's going to drop to his knees, and then the angels are going to touch him and said, "I've been coming for 3 weeks. So he just saw the vision. So what he was praying about is not the vision. What he was praying about for 3 weeks in fasting is something different than the vision. The vision comes, and he's going to get an understanding of the vision. And the vision is actually the answer to the prayer. And his prayer concerns some things. So what was he actually praying about? Now, you need to see that first so that you can appreciate what he's praying about. And the hint of that is in verse 1 of Daniel. Chapter 10. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel." So now we're in the third year of Cyrus the king. So hold your place here and come back to Ezra chapter 1. Now we've already been through some of this information where you realize Ezra is the one who led the captives back to from Persia back to the promised land and started the rebuilding of the temple. And so you realize, we saw that when we studied Daniel chapter 9, so that we realize when we read Daniel chapter 9 that the captivity was about to end. There is, they say, that about 4 to 5 years after Daniel 9 that Ezra chapter 1 takes place, where the captivity. Daniel knew in chapter 9 it was about over, but it wasn't over yet. And so there's a few years that pass, and now the captivity, the people in captivity, the nation of Israel captive originally in Babylon, now taken over by the Medes and Persians, that they're now under Ezra allowed to return. So in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing." And what he's going to announce is for the Israel to go ahead, whoever would like, to go ahead, follow Ezra, return back to the promised land. And he's going to make that decree. But notice that took place in the first year of Cyrus. Now, it was first Darius, the Mede, who conquered the Media-Persia, conquered Babylon. But now it's Cyrus who's reigning, and God stirred the spirit of Cyrus, and now the captivity is ending. And so now the people are going to go back under Cyrus, go back to the promised land with the decree of Cyrus in the first year of Cyrus's reign. Now, do you remember where we're at in chapter 10? We're in the third year of Cyrus's reign. So the people have already went back to the land. In fact, I just got a few verses to point out to you. Come over to chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, yes. Thanks for asking that. And verse 8. Notice where we are. Now, the people have come back to the land. It says, "Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, and the remnant that were of the brethren, the priest, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites and the 20... from 20 years old and upward to set forth the work of the house of the Lord." So now under Zerubbabel, they're back to the land, but notice where they are. It's the second year since they came back. The first year of Cyrus, he said, go back. It's now 2 years later, they're back in the land and they start rebuilding the temple. Interesting that when you get to just the events that take place, when they lay the foundation for this new temple, the people, the young people who've never seen the old temple, they're cheering, what a great thing, we're going to rebuild the temple. The people who are older, who saw Solomon's temple, are crying. And you look at verse 13, it says, "So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." So the old people are crying, the young people are cheering, because Zerubbabel's temple is nowhere the size and grandeur of Solomon's temple. Now that's just the foundation of the temple. So that's all that's getting laid here. But notice chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then there came," and they're going, now what you're going to read in the rest of Ezra is all the problems that came up. They started saying, no, there was a decree, you can't build this temple. Then it's going to go back to the Cyrus to go and search and say, was there ever a decree saying they can't build a temple? And then they can resume building the temple again. So the people came back to the land, they started rebuilding the temple, and then the adversaries began to attack. That's the point I wanted you to see. So what is it that Daniel's praying about in chapter 10 and verse 1 in the third year of Cyrus the king? He's not praying about the vision because he hadn't got the vision yet. It's during that 3 weeks that he's fasting is that he's gotten reports about the remnant went back. We talked last week how he didn't go back with the remnant. We gave some reasons for that. But the remnant went back. Things started to work out real good. Then the adversary set in. And so he's praying about the condition of the nation of Israel back in the land. And so that's what his prayers concern. And when you think about it, as we get into chapter 11 and start talking about that, about the vision that he saw is an answer to his prayer. How God is ultimately going to bless the nation of Israel. The final adversary is going to be the Antichrist. And that's going to involve that temple and everything else. And so what he's praying about is that situation. And he prays 3 full weeks. So that's how we begin Daniel chapter 10. Now we go back to Daniel chapter 10. I want to point out as well, in verse 1, where it says in the middle of the verse, and the thing was true, and the time appointed was long, and this has to do with him finally getting the understanding when he has this vision, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, if it's 3 full weeks, and the idea of full there, that means there's 21 days, but if it's full, then we're past the 21st day. We're in the 22nd day, and maybe just beyond that, as you're going to see in a minute. He says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And that it's really pointing out the 3 weeks were totally fulfilled. Now, when I went back to verse 1, I forgot to point this out. That's why we went there. Again, look at the middle of verse 1. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. What I want to point out to you, I don't know why, every commentary, when they get to the word long, they said that doesn't mean time-wise, that means it's going to be hard times. Like long means hard, troublesome times. And I shake my head and I look at the word, I even try to do a little looking. It means long. And the point too I make to you, you'll appreciate it more in chapter 11, is when the time appointed is long, the idea here is the understanding he's going to get is an understanding of what's going to take place a long time off. Not that there's going to be a hard times, there's going to be adversaries, there's going to be trouble. It's the vision. He's going to understand what's going to take place at the end, a long time. But some people, actually, when you get to the interpretation in chapter 11, say it's all history to our time. And that might be why they changed the word long there to not reflect time, but to reflect difficulties. But I just throw that in there now because they immediately do that in verse 1. But anyhow, Daniel, he's fasted now 3 full weeks, and then we find out the timing in verse 4. It says, in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is called Hiddekel. Now, that river is only mentioned one other time in the Bible, and it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 there, where the Garden of Eden is. And it is the river that we call the Tigris River. You can actually trace it by looking at Genesis chapter 2 and realize that there's 4 rivers that ran through the Garden of Eden, and it's pinpointing the Garden of Eden. The 2 that we knew, the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, they come together right where Babylon is at. The other 2 are probably now oceans rather than rivers, but the point is we're right down at the Tigris-Euphrates River. You might recall, was it chapter 8, he was by the river Ulai, which comes in just in that same territory. But he's in Babylon, he's along that Tigris-Euphrates River area, and that's where he's going to get the vision. So that's where he's at. But he gets the vision in the 24th day of the first month. Now, the 24th day of the first month, the first month for the nation of Israel, we would call it like April. But the first month for them is when they came out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, and they had just had the last plague, and they were allowed to escape, but that was going to be the Passover for the nation of Israel. And from the 14th day is Passover. From the 15th day to the 21st day is going to be the days of unleavened bread. And if we're in the 24th day of the first month, we're just after Passover, which was a great deliverance for the nation of Israel. And this vision is going to be about a great deliverance of the nation of Israel. So he just passed Passover. It makes me wonder then, when you look back up in verse 3, and it says, I ate no pleasant bread. Apparently his fast was not a complete fast. He just ate no pleasant bread, but he did eat bread. I put down, what is more pleasant, unleavened or leavened bread? And actually came up in Google, it says leavened bread is more pleasant than unleavened bread. Leavened bread is more pleasant than unleavened bread. And I don't know if it come up because of that, because he apparently did eat the Passover. But unleavened bread, you know, it doesn't have the whatever else is in it that makes it better than a leavened bread. In fact, when, you know, like sometimes we relate leaven to sin, but it's not always. When the Pentecost, they ate leavened bread because that's a time of blessing where God is blessing them. Here it's their deliverance from Egypt, and so they ate quickly. They standing up eating, and they had to eat bitter herbs and all the rest. So he ate no pleasant thing during that time, nor flesh or wine came into his mouth. So, but he did eat the Passover. So we're talking about Passover time, and just past Passover, he's by this river, Hiddekel. And then it says in verse 5, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with a fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the burly, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." And then Daniel was left alone when he saw the vision, and he describes all that, and eventually he falls to the ground. So the vision is he sees this man, and there's a lot of description to this man. And so I listed so we can look at it. That's why I didn't want to turn this until now. Get Revelation chapter 1. We'll figure out who this man is. We just read those verses, so we can now just compare them with Revelation chapter 1, where John receives a vision of the last days as well. And the first vision that he gets is described in Revelation chapter 1. I start in verse 13 because we'll start out identifying immediately who this man is. Daniel said the certain man. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, John is receiving a revelation here. He's brought up into the Lord's day. And it says, "In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the paps with a golden girdle." So we immediately start out where we know who this one is. If you look down to verse 7, it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Who is alive and is dead and is alive forevermore? Certainly it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called back in verse 13, the Son of Man. I should have just read to you Revelation, Daniel chapter 7. If you have Daniel saved, you can look at it. But Daniel chapter 7 in verse 13, in that vision, it says, Daniel says, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Well, who's the Son of Man? It's the Lord Jesus Christ coming in his kingdom, coming to reign in his kingdom. And so that title, Son of Man, is a title that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ's right to rule over mankind, all nations, people, languages, over the earth. It's his title of his kingdom reign. It's also, I pointed out to you back when we studied Daniel chapter 4, I think it was, that title also means man who is God. But we won't go into that, but I just wanted you to see that. In fact, I do want to read this other verse to you as well. When we studied that in Daniel chapter 7 and saw what that means, immediately thought of this verse, Acts chapter 7, and this is where Stephen sees Jesus Christ standing, and it says, Acts 7 and verse 56, it says, "And said, Behold, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." My point to you is every time you see that phrase, that's Jesus Christ returning to set up his kingdom, to reign in his kingdom. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. That's what Daniel 10 and 11 is about. Jesus Christ coming back to reign in his kingdom. The certain man that Daniel saw is the Son of Man. Now notice in Revelation chapter 1, we immediately in verse 13 there start getting some description. When he saw one like unto the Son of Man, it says clothed with a garment down to his foot. Well, the first thing we saw in Daniel is he was clothed in linen. What's interesting to me is that the description, they're different, but actually they add detail. We have a garment here. What kind of garment? A linen garment. By the way, the first time you look up linen in your Bible, it's when Pharaoh gave Joseph a linen garment to wear because he's now second in command of all of Egypt. So interesting, that relationship there. But here we just have garment. Here it's called a linen. I'll talk about foot maybe. Loins girded. Girded about the paps. Well, here it's girded. Girded just means they take the clothing and lift it up and eventually put a belt on it. But girded so that the feet can move. What we're having a picture of, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And he's coming back in judgment. And so his loins are girded. He's ready to move. How high are they girded? All the way to the paps. All the way up. I mean, he wants to make sure there's nothing going to trip him up as he comes. He's coming quickly. And so he's girded to the paps. So those things match. And then it says, Daniel said his loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. Uphaz, interesting word. You definitely, if you could find where Uphaz is, you could probably find some gold. It's actually, it's in the Strong's, it's one number away from Orphid, I think is the name, where Solomon sent ships to get gold for himself. And so it's probably the same place. But anyhow, that girdle is made up of the fine gold of Uphaz. Well, when you read Daniel here, he's girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Well, we not only know it's golden, we know where the gold came from. Interesting, the details like that. Now you're back in Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 14. It says, and his head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were, well, I'll stop there. Well, I might as well read it. And his eyes were a flame of fire. So it starts talking about his head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow. I kept thinking about that. It's funny. Daniel talks about his body, and John talks about his head and his hair. You know, if you want a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put those two together. Now, burly is interesting. I tried to look that up because it can be different. When you look it up, it can be several different colors. One of the colors is just brightness. And that one stuck out to me because his head and his hair is white, white as snow. You're going to also get an idea of some brilliance there. But just the comparison is quite interesting. But then the next thing it said in Daniel, his face was as lightning. Well, that's where I started thinking about burly being a brightness, and then head and hair white. But his face is like lightning. But that really... I'm going to do my cross-reference. I did it different here than I did even on my notes. Oh, yeah, that one. I was going to. Let's hold off on that one. There's a reason for this. So number six from Daniel, his eyes as lamps of fire. Well, now we can see that one actually comes up to number five here, eyes as a flame of fire, flames of fire. So, one's lamps of fire, flames of fire. But you know, when we're talking about these things, you know, if you saw someone look at you, I was going to do an illustration. Brandon does this about his wife or something. It's not necessarily good. But if I got home and all of a sudden Sanja looks at me and her eyes are flames of fire, I don't think I got a welcome home. And that's the whole point here. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming fast. And flames of fire, he's coming in judgment. And lamps of fire, flames of fire. The next verse, 15. And his feet, like fine brass, as if it had been burned in a furnace. and his voice the sound of many waters. So his arms and his feet as polished brass. All we got here, we don't hear, we just have his feet like fine brass burned in a fire. I'm not sure if Gary Schiller was here, he could explain to us the different relationship between polished brass and burned brass, as brass as it's burned in a fire. But not only do we have his feet here, we realize his arms here are like that polished brass as well. So a matching description. And then the voice, Daniel says his voice was like a multitude. John says his voice as of many waters. And you get the idea of that. Depends on how you're going to describe when you hear all that thunder behind his, when he talks, it just echoes. It could sound like water. It could sound like a multitude. Either way, you realize there's both of them are describing the voice, because the Lord is going to give a revelation, and that revelation is going to, John is going to receive it, Daniel is going to receive it, and when they hear his voice, it sounds that way. Now, there's one that I skipped here, except I read it in verse 17 there. In verse 17, it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not." So when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he fell at his feet as dead. Go back to Daniel 10. We're done with Revelation. I told you, Daniel's not only going to see the vision, he, John, is going to describe the effect that it had on him. It says in verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled and to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength." And then yet I heard a voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep with my face on my face and my face toward the ground. It's almost like, you'll see a little bit more detail about that. Daniel is just, he loses all strength. This vision just zaps him. Then God begins to speak, and he just falls face down to the ground. That's the condition of Daniel when he sees Jesus Christ coming in judgment. It's also the same position of John when he hears the voice of God and sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming in judgment. He fell at his feet as dead. It's a scary thing. And both of them, they have that same effect. I've told you before, everybody, you know, you get all these Pentecostal guys that got a vision, God appeared to him. They never experience any of this. You know, it just, if you saw the Lord, you'd be like Isaiah, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips," thinking you're about ready to die. But anyhow, that leaves this one, face as lightning, and the other, countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. So that's interesting, because his face is lightning. I mean, lightning is a flash. And then that matches that, the countenance as shineth as the sun in its strength. But it also leads to what I call number 10. Daniel describes the effect that it had on him, not only this effect, but it describes different things about what happened when he saw the vision. And it doesn't match John, it matches another person in your Bible. Anybody recognize who Acts 9, 22, and 26 is about? Okay. It's like, you talk about shining in its strength. When the Apostle Paul saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. Now remember, he's going to see the Lord, and the Lord's going to offer grace. The opposite of what these two guys see. But it's interesting, the comparison. Look at Daniel again, and look at verse 7. "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision." Do you remember what it says about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Now, you actually have to put all three of these together to get these points. And we're not going to go do the cross-reference. But Daniel, the men with him, so he wasn't by himself when he saw this. But they couldn't see the vision. But Daniel alone saw the vision. The Apostle Paul alone heard the voice. Now, by the way, there's a in Acts 9, it says that they didn't hear the voice. And I think it's Acts 22, it says, they heard they heard not the voice that spake to me. And which is it? They heard not the voice? But the point is if Paul on the road to Damascus is having a conversation with God and they don't hear the voice of God, what voice did they hear? Paul. That people have a different answer for that, but that's always been my answer. But the point is Paul alone heard the voice of God. Daniel alone saw the vision. But there's other things that are same here. It says, middle of verse 7, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled and hid themselves. Now, it's actually Acts 26 that you find out that the men that were with Daniel, when they saw the light, they fell to the ground. And so there was a ground that they fell. Both people, the people with them, fell. Verse 8 says, therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep with my face on my face and my face toward the ground. So, but the point is that he receives a revelation at that point. The Apostle Paul, who heard the voice of God, alone heard the voice of God, received a revelation of grace rather than a revelation of wrath. It's interesting that last point just kind of, you go from John, who saw what Daniel saw, to Saul, became Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, who met the same person, but did not meet him in judgment. Met him in grace and peace that he extends to you and me in this dispensation. So that's the vision that Daniel saw, and there's more details, of course, in chapter 10. I told you last week, and next week when we get back into chapter 10, that chapter 10 opens up an understanding of the heavens, the unseen world. And what's about to follow in chapter 10, to me, is quite a revelation, not just to Daniel, but to you and me, that we can begin to understand some things that only you can see with the eyes of faith. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your Bible. That I kind of thank you that we don't get these visions. It's better to read about them and study them than to experience the things that these men experienced. But the truth that you revealed, we thank you that it's recorded for us in your word, and we can study it and know it and believe it and see things that are future and see some things that are invisible with the eyes of faith. So thank you for this study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.